Let's get into the Word of God tonight. How does God speak? Part 5. And if you don't know after this, I don't know what else to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 13 together. Romans chapter 13. Yeah, we will be praying for the sick after the service. Yeah, you need that, do you, ZZ? You poor wee thing. All right, so God speaks in lots of different ways. He talks through His Word, of course. The Word of God's the voice of God. He talks through dreams, visions, events, opportunities in life. His voice, either a gentle whisper or an audible voice from God. He also speaks through leaders. And I just want to do a very quick recap of what we looked at last week. God will speak to you through the appointed leaders that He has placed over you in the church that you're part of. That's a really important truth. There are two aspects, though, to our Australian culture that we need to be careful of so that we don't inhibit our ability to hear from God through the leaders that He has placed in His church. One of those that we looked at last Saturday night was individualism. That's part of our Australian culture. Its bottom line is, it's all about me. And we bring that then into the church with this me and Jesus attitude. You know, there's a lot of people that give their life to Jesus, but then don't ever plug into a community. And, you know, we are the body of Christ. I don't mean we Bayside. I mean we who have given our lives to Jesus are the body of Christ. But we're not supposed to be a disembodied body. And you don't have hands running around all over the place and a foot going here, you know what I mean? And a heart lying at the back going boom, 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 boom. We are supposed to be all together. And the me and Jesus philosophy, really, which pervades the Western world, works against this to our own detriment. It manifests itself in the church so often by people who just come and they say, well, God's told me this. And you have no right when they've said, well, God's told me. You seem to have no right to be able to speak into that. And I have watched people, sadly, over the couple of decades or more that I have been in pastoral ministry, I have watched people come unglued in their life because they've just had this God told me thing and they've gone off and done it and they haven't sought wise advice, and somewhere down the track it all unravels and it's so sad. And it breaks my heart when that takes place. Proverbs 11:14 tells us that where there is no counsel, the people fall. And that's so true. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And as I said last Saturday night, it's not just going to one counselor and getting their advice and not liking that and then going to find another counselor and don't like your advice. And you keep going around to different counselors and different leaders, different people in your world until you find someone who agrees with you. The multitude of counselors is when the counselors are together. And so it's like one of you then sharing with a pastor or a leader in the church an issue that you're going through or a decision that you need to make, and them bringing that issue or decision to a meeting, like a meeting of the pastors, for example, which we do on a regular basis, and then bringing it up amongst the pastoral team so that we can then pray about it, speak into it, and then get back to you with what we sense in the Holy Spirit. There is safety in that. It's what the Bible says. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And can I tell you, that's the bottom line with what I'm sharing with you now. You know, see, sometimes people think that leaders want to control you or manipulate you or be this authoritarian figure over you. That's not my heart at all. Now, I'm sure there are leaders around like that, but I'm not one of them. My heart is the heart of a pastor, a shepherd, who wants to look out for his sheep and keep them safe. Bottom line, that is my 100% motivation here in this church. But individualism works against that. The second aspect of our culture that I want to touch on tonight is egalitarianism. It's a great long word, isn't it? To be egalitarian means to be classless or to be equal. Now, I think this is actually a great strength of Australia. I love the fact that we don't really have a whole lot of classes going on, like they do, say, like in a Hindu culture, for example, where there's a whole caste system of people who are better than others. That would be a very difficult system to live in, especially if you're down the bottom of the food chain, I would imagine. And really, you know, our own heritage as a nation, I'm from the UK and quite a number of other people from the United Kingdom as well, and there's a very strong class culture that pervades the United Kingdom and some other British countries where, you know, there's a whole lot of snobbery going on of the upper classes on occasion, you know, and the lower classes look down on, and then the lower classes looking down on the uppers and all of that kind of stuff. Australia, by and large, is not like that, and I think that's wonderful. But our greatest strength becomes our greatest weakness when it's not sanctified. That's true of each and every one of us, isn't it? We've all got strengths, but they become a great weakness. I mean, some people are very upfront and honest, but their great strength becomes their great weakness when they don't sanctify it and they don't learn when to speak and when to remain silent. You know, well, I always speak my mind. Well, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the fool always speaks their mind. Just go figure. There are times when you need to zip the lip. Your greatest strength becomes your greatest weakness. And that's true as a nation. Our great strength of egalitarianism, of the fact that we see all people as being equal and no class system in place, that's a great strength, becomes a great weakness when we don't respect authority. And that's how it manifests in Australia. We have a lot of people who criticise authority. We get people that criticise the politicians. Now, politicians aren't perfect, but nowhere in the Bible are we instructed to criticise our police. We're instructed to pray for them, we're instructed to respect them, and we're instructed to do respectful influencing of our politicians and of policy in Australia, okay? Respect. The same with our police force. We are to thank God for the police. Now, there's, yes, a very small element of every place of authority where you'll get corruption, and the police force is no exception to that, but it's the minority. The vast majority of policemen and policewomen are doing a sensational job, and praise God for them. And yet there's this pervading thing in our society that wants to pull down and disrespect authority. It's the same in the business world. You talk to people. Who's the most unpopular person in any workplace? The boss. Let's criticize him. Let's gossip about him. Let's, or her. And let's pull them down at every given opportunity. And it shouldn't be that way. And it happens in churches too, because we're equal, and yes, we are equal, but there is still a functional authority that we need to respect. And that's why I've directed you to Romans chapter 13 tonight, because Romans speaks right into this. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Verse 1, for there is no authority except that which God has established. That's a pretty powerful statement. No authority exists except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. Remember that. I've underlined those three words. Do you good. That's what authority is placed there for. If you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. It's important to understand that everybody is equal, but there needs to be a functional authority for orderly operation of any society. Imagine what it would be like if Australia had no laws, and Australia had no authority. We're just this egalitarian, equal society with no authority. This place would be an absolute mess. We need it, and that's called anarchy. And there's been anarchies at different times, and it's never been nice. We wouldn't want to live in that. We need this functional authority. It doesn't mean the authority is any better. Pastors are no better than anybody else in the church. The boss is no better than anybody else in the business. The politicians are no better than anybody else in the country. We're all equal. But there is a functional authority that has been placed in businesses and churches and nations and so on, so that it operates correctly. It's the same with your body. There's a functional authority that exists. Hopefully, right now, your body's working perfectly, and there's a functional authority taking place. Your brain is dictating to the rest of your body what it's to do and what it's not to do. There is an occasion when we have a rebellion against authority in our body. It is called cancer. It is never nice. And we never take pity on the cancer. We cut it out. We bombard it with chemicals and do everything we possibly can to bring that body part back into alignment with the rest of the body. And that's what the Bible's talking here about in Romans chapter 13. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, it's a very interesting truth here. It says, "This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority." What an interesting word. The word despise there is the opposite of admire. So we're to admire authority, admire, look up to, appreciate. To despise authority, the Bible tells us here, is part of the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. Interesting. So when we despise our politicians, when we despise our community leaders, when we despise the police force, when we despise our boss, when we despise our pastors and leaders, we are manifesting, the Bible says here, part of the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. What an interesting thought. If I was to ask you tonight, raise your hands, those of you who would love to sin. Well, you know, maybe some of it's enjoyable, but no one would put your hand up, right? I'm just verbalizing what some of you are thinking. So, No one would put your hand up. And yet, you know, we do stuff that is part of the manifestation of the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. Every time we disrespect authority, we do that. I've put some other scriptures in your notes there that you can have a read of. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's see what God's attitude wants all of us to be to our leaders in the body of Christ. And understanding this, church, I have leaders over me, okay? So I'm undercover to my leaders, and then I exercise authority over those who are given to me under my care here in this church, okay? And we'll look at a little bit more about that in just a moment. So I'm undercover. I report to Gordon Moore and Phil and Chris Pringle, people like that, okay? So I'm not a law unto myself either, and I look up to them and respect them and listen to them and allow them to speak into my life. I am accountable to them in my life, and I love that. And I would never, ever do anything of a major nature before I went and inquired of them. So I'm not trying to teach you anything that I don't do myself in my own life. I think that's very important to say. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. It's talking here to a church. It says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." So those who speak the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their life, imitate their faith. Go down to verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." A couple of interesting truths I want to highlight here. Talking about obeying your leaders, submitting to their authority. Why? It gives us the reason there. Because your leaders, people like Christy, myself, our other pastoral team, leaders in the church, are keeping watch over you. Now, that's not some kind of big brother keeping watch over you. Aha, sort of thing, okay? It's a watchful gaze that a parent has over the kids. Those of you who have little children or have ever had little children, you're out somewhere and you never get distracted. You might be in a shop, but you're always keeping an eye on the kids, your watchful eye, making sure they're okay, making sure they're keeping safe, making sure that, you know, no harm comes to them. That's what pastors and leaders are in a church. We're keeping watch over you, okay? And so the Bible says that we are to obey such. And they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. One day, every leader in the church is going to stand before the Lord and we have to give an account. I'm going to have to give an account to God for what I've spoken in the Word of God, what I've taught you, and the care that we have operated as a church for every person that God has ever placed in our care. That's a pretty major job right there. Some people make that job really, really, really easy and fun. Other people make the job exactly the opposite of that. They make it horrible on occasions. They make it challenging. They give you sleepless nights and headaches and tears. And the Bible says that that's not the way it's supposed to happen. It says here, obey them so that their work will be a joy. Okay, that's your job. My job is to keep an eye out for you. Your job is to make my job enjoyable. That's what it says. So that their work may be a joy, not a burden. There are some people, I tell you, when I get before the Lord, I'm going to have to, and God already knows, the hard time they've given to me, you know, and to other pastors. That's so sad. Their job might be a joy, not a burden. Why? For that would be of no advantage to you. Meditate on that verse. You put your bit into practice, and I'll put my bit into practice. Deal? Great. There are three key truths I want to just finish up with tonight, and there may be other questions that you might have from this, and I want you to ask them, okay? And next week I will answer any questions that you might have in regard to this particular aspect of teaching, okay? So you can either write them down and give them to me after the meeting tonight, or just email me through the week any question that you might have in regard to how God speaks through leaders, and any question that has been raised from my teaching last week or this week on this particular subject. Three key truths: ask, avoid, and acknowledge. Number one, ask. Ask for guidance from your leaders on major decisions, not minor ones, please. A number of years ago, back in the 80s particularly, there was a shepherding movement around America, and it pervaded Australia as well, and I'm sure other particularly Western nations. The shepherding movement, where everyone in the church was given a shepherd, and that everyone who had a shepherd had to go and ask the shepherd before they could do anything. And I'm talking anything. It's like, can I have a haircut? You know, and that's not a question I'd be asking my shepherd, you know, for a number of reasons. But can I have a haircut? Well, what nail polish should I use? Or am I allowed to wear makeup? And, you know, that's the question that the girls would ask, just in case you're wondering. And all those sort of pathetic little things, like, make your own mind up on minor stuff. I'm talking here, ask for direction and advice and wise counsel on major decisions of life. Things like moving house, buying a house, changing jobs, okay, relocating, those kind of major life decisions that you need to make. You need to seek wise advice on those things. And I'm not just talking from, you know, don't everyone ask Christy and myself. Go to some of the leaders in the church that you know and start with them, okay? And if they need to, then they'll forward you on. But, you know, we can't have everyone in the church, obviously, just coming and ask us about every decision that you're going to make. That would just wear us out, you know? And so share the load around. But what I'm trying to say, church, is this. Don't make a decision that is a major life-changing decision. Don't make it just on your own. It's not biblical. The God told me thing does not stack up with scripture, okay? God will tell you, but if he's told you, he will also tell two of the leaders that are around you. And so, you know, what the Bible says is by the testimony of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. There's safety in that. And so ask for guidance from leaders on major decisions. It gives you safety and it gives you perspective. We've all got a blind spot. We don't see everything. And when you ask, you get people that will look at something from a different perspective and they'll help you. And it's so important. Mark Davey is going to be sharing a testimony about that next Saturday night and Sunday morning. He and Jane have recently come to Christy and I about a major decision that they were making. And we've walked the journey with them on that. I talked over the phone and prayed and so on and so forth. And I asked him this morning if he would share that journey with you next Saturday night and Sunday morning, because it beautifully illustrates what I'm sharing with you here tonight. Number two, avoid controlling, manipulative, and authoritarian leaders at all costs. It's gone quiet. The person being led is to be undercover. And if you've never read that book, get a hold of it, Undercover by John Bevere. It's brilliant. Undercover just means to be submissive and respectful to your leaders. But the leader must never use this privilege to control or manipulate anybody. So important. I've been under controlling, manipulative leadership, and it's ugly. Legalistic leadership, it's horrible. I spent the first 6-7 years of my Christian life in a little Pentecostal church over in Western Australia, where the pastor used to be in the army, and he forgot that he stepped out of the army and was in the church, you know, and he ran it like boot camp. And you had to, yes, sir, and, you know, jump, and you just say, how high, and stuff like that. It was really hard going. And we saw a lot of devastation in that church as a result of that. We had two guys couldn't take it, and they committed suicide. You know, I'm talking serious stuff. And if I knew then what I knew now, I would have got out of that place. Quick, smart. I certainly wouldn't have stayed in it for 6 years. And so don't stay under authoritarian, manipulative, controlling leaders. Go with me to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. And we'll pick it up from verse 20. This is a wonderful little story. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Just want you to picture this for a moment. How you'd feel, you know, if you were one of the other disciples and you've got James and John, they had worded mum up to go and talk to Jesus on their behalf. I mean, give me a break. I don't know about you, but I get the picture of this little Jewish lady, you know, but she's strong and she kind of rules the family, and she's got her boys that tower over her and they're with her, and she goes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, she kneels down and she says, Jesus, would you grant that one of these sons will sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom? How would you feel? Jesus responds. He says, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? And that cup is referring to his death, okay? When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, Father, I pray that this cup, a cup of suffering, would pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And so Jesus is asking the boys here, are you able to be crucified? And they would have understood his language, and their answer is, we can. With their response, they cursed themselves. Jesus said to them, you will. And they did. Church history reports, James and John were martyred by crucifixion. You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard this, they were indignant, as you can imagine, with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, and this is what I want you to focus on here. This is the object lesson. Jesus is here speaking about New Testament leadership. And he said to them, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And then he utters four little words that I think you should underline in your Bible. It's not so with you. It's to be different. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's New Testament leadership right there. The way up is down. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And here in these few verses in 1 Peter 5, we've got all of this beautifully put together for us. It speaks to the elders, first of all. Now, elders, pastors, overseers, bishops, they're all synonymous terms in the New Testament, okay? So not all different groups of people. A shepherd, a pastor, a bishop, an elder, an overseer, all the same, not different. And you'll find those words used interchangeably throughout Scripture. So if you want to call me Bishop Buckingham, feel free, but I'd rather you just call me Rob. To the elders, and then notice that word there again, same one as in Matthew 20, among, not over, among, leaders among the people. I appeal to you as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. And then it says here, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Isn't that beautiful? And then it talks to the young men in the church, or the young people. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, the whole church now, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Beautiful. See, there's no room there for people to push themselves or promote themselves. It's all about humility. The way up is down in the kingdom of God. And as we humble ourselves, God raises us up in the right time. I love that. You know, over the years, we've seen people that have come into the church and just say, look, Pastor Rob, we're just here. We're going to plant ourselves in this church. And whatever you want to, you know, release us into over the process of time, that's fine. But we're not going to pressurize you or expect anything. And over the process of time, you just see people naturally, supernaturally raised up. Isn't that great? You know, people like Luke Williams here just came in a number of years ago, got to, served in the house, and over the process of time, you know, when the time was right, God spoke to me, and I shared it with the leadership team. The leader said, yes, great, and we offered him a staff position, a pastoral position in the church. God promotes at the right time in the right way. Conversely, there have been people that have come into the church like they're God's gift to the body of Christ. I've had people, they've asked me what I want them to do, and I said, look, we really need some car park attendants at the moment. Oh, I can't do that. My ministry is prayer. Well, stand out there in the car park and pray. And greet people while you're at it. And smile at them, you know. And let's not underestimate the power of a serving ministry. Personally, I think that people that greet on the door and stand in the car park and direct people and smile at people as they arrive are extremely important, especially for first-time visitors. You will make it or break it for people. They can't find a parking space and they don't get a warm greeting at the door. They've actually already made their mind up about what kind of church this is before they've even heard me preach. Most people choose a church within the first 7 minutes of arriving. I have very little to do with that. Maybe I should start preaching as soon as the service starts, you know, so I could be part of the equation. But let's not underestimate how important those ministries are. People that push themselves and promote themselves, I tell you, it'll be slowed right down. And so if you find yourself under an abusive leader, extricate yourself as quickly as you can, but remain godly and respectful and leave the judgment to God. I have seen Christian men and women get uptight over authoritarian leaders and create havoc in a church as a result. Just leave with grace and respect and don't gossip and criticize. Just leave the judgment to God. That's what the Bible has to say. Romans 14 verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? Good question. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He'll bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. The best example I can think of this is that of David and Saul. And those of you who are following Week in the Word, you will read 1 Samuel 24, 1 Samuel 26 this week. As you read it, just see how godly David was. Saul had lost the plot. He was chasing David all over the place, trying to murder him, for goodness sake. He totally lost it, and yet David would not rise up against Saul. He didn't criticize him. He didn't gossip about him. You know, he could have killed Saul on a number of occasions, and he said, I will not lay a hand against the person that God has anointed. He just committed himself to the Lord and allowed God to act, and God acted in the right time and in the right way. Thirdly and finally tonight, acknowledge that your leaders have your best interest at heart. This is so important and so much part of my heart. One of the challenges of leadership is that you give wise advice to people who sometimes get offended with you because of the advice that you give. And I got to say to you right up front, and you know me, I think, reasonably well, I have your best intentions at heart all the time. Okay? I'm not ever going to give you advice just because that's what I feel or that's what I want. I've had people come to me, like I shared with you last week, Linton and Ginny Parker, who came a couple of years ago and talked to Christy and I, and they said that they felt that God was maybe calling them up to Sydney, but they wanted to come and share with us. And, you know, I'm not trying to hold on to anyone here. We love people with open arms. We're not trying to, you know, just build this little part of the kingdom. We love with open arms. God does move people around the body of Christ. The Bible says he puts the members in the body as he wills. Okay, some of you have come from other churches, and if you left in the wrong way, repent of that and, you know, get on with your life here, but don't make the same mistake again. When Linton and Ginny came to us, we shared with them and we prayed with them, and, you know, they asked us to get back to them, and Christy and I prayed about it, and we felt that what they were saying was correct. We felt that God was calling them to relocate to Sydney, and so we prayed for them and we released them with blessing, and God has blessed them. They're going to Oxford Falls Christian City Church, which is a great church. Their kids are in the school there. They're doing really well. The business is blessed. And they're here on a regular basis in Melbourne. And whenever they're here on a weekend, they come to their home away from home. You know, why? Because it was all done with blessing. Please understand that your pastors and leaders have your best interests at heart here at Bayside Church. And so if we give advice, it's because we love you and we care for you. If we give advice, don't get upset. You know, people that marry an unsaved person. You know, I've had people come and they say, I want to marry so-and-so. I say, well, okay, are you spiritually compatible? Oh, no, but, you know, I love him or her. And but the Bible talks about being spiritually compatible. And sometimes people listen and sometimes they don't. And we've had people that have gone and married someone that they're not spiritually compatible with, and they've one of two things happen. They're either here but struggling, or they're not in church anywhere. Why? Because it's easier to pull someone down than it is to pull them up. I have your best interests at heart, and so do the other pastors, and so do the other leaders. Don't get upset and uptight and offended when we give you good advice. The Bible calls pastors shepherds that are there to protect their sheep from wolves. Problem is with wolves is they dress up. They're not obvious. They dress up. Like, no one comes to you and goes, by the way, I'm a wolf. You know, they dress up. They're always dressed in sheep's clothing. And so they're hard to pick. So you need a shepherd that is going to help you discern and offer advice and guidance into your life. Someone you know is not dressing up. Someone you know who's the genuine article. So important. It's what the Word of God says. Matthew 7:15-16. Watch out for false prophets. Why? Because there's false prophets around. That's why. False brethren. 2 Corinthians tells us that the devil masquerades as a being of light, and his servants masquerade as angels of righteousness. They're hard to pick. And if you're out there on your own, just me and Jesus, you and Jesus, then you're easy pickings. You need to be in a safe place. So watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Matthew 10:16, Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Let's go to Acts 20 and then we'll finish up. Acts chapter 20. And we'll pick it up from verse 28. And it's speaking here to the elders. If we'll pick it up from verse 25, just to get the context of it. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again, says Paul. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. That's my passion in life too. To declare to you as the people of God the whole will, the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God, not just the nice bits, not just the easy bits, some of the tough bits as well, like what we're talking about tonight. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds or pastors of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. They are sobering words. We've had the same thing happen here, and every church experiences the same over the years, where people either come in from outside or people who normally get offended and don't deal with the offense rise up, and you can always pick them because they will always try and get people to gravitate to them. Come to me. Come and build my ministry. Come and help me. Right there, easy to pick. Easy to pick. I never ever use that kind of expression. This is not my ministry. This is our church. Yours. Mine. Belongs to us. Amen. Collectively, we're a community of the people of God here. We're building the kingdom of God in this part of Melbourne. It's not about me. It's not about Christy. It's not about any individual. It's about us, community. And so learn to listen to God through all of these different ways that we're talking about, but never ever miss listening to God and hearing from God, from the leaders that he has placed over you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word, Father. Very, very clear, Lord God. And we make an agreement right now as your people here in this place to hear your word and to put your word into practice, to be doers of the word, not hearers only, that we might be blessed. Father, for each and every one of us, me included, Lord God, we submit ourselves afresh to the leaders that you have placed in our world. Father God, I pray, help us as a company of people to move past the spirit of this age of individualism, of egalitarianism, of disrespecting authority, Father God. We don't want to manifest our sinful nature in this way. Father God, we want to walk in purity and sincerity and honesty. Father God, I pray, speak to us through those who are in authority around us. In Jesus' name, amen.